I mean, how could you not love them instantly? And they didn't even have probably their best, not probably their best offensive kid.
I was like, in the alternate universe, I said, Caleb Shawn is watching this. And guys, we're fine.
They've done this before. They did this. I mean, they've done it to great teams before. So it's just like, I don't even know if that's really a big win for him.
He is a leader on defense. I mean, this kid has a motor, man. I mean, you can just tell he gets into the game and he starts to defend and everybody just kind of rallies behind him. He's just, he's their leader. Like, he's everything for them.
He's him.
He's him.
What is up, Arizona high school basketball fanatics? Welcome back to the Arizona Small Ball Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff. Your other host, Reyes, is here with me as always. And we got an awesome episode in store for you guys today. We got a lot to talk about. We're talking about the new 20-point differential rule that was put in place in the AIA. We're going to do some awesome game recaps of ALA versus PC. And y'all, Heritage is freaking on fire right now, along with Desert Christian. And we also got a brand new announcement for you guys that we're super excited about. Reyes, why don't you just get us right into it, dude? What's this brand new announcement that we got for the small ball community?
Dude, I'm super excited to kind of bring this to you guys. It's been a long time in the making, what we've been talking about. Let's just get right into it, dude. So we're excited to bring you guys the first ever and first annual the Arizona Small Ball Podcast Viral Heap Award. This award is going to go to annually just to the most outstanding small ball player in Arizona. We thought this would be a pretty cool idea to kind of just kind of celebrate and, you know, just congratulate who we feel best represented Arizona small ball that year. And this is open from freshmen to seniors, and we're super excited to kind of bring this to you guys and to bring this to fruition.
And the cool thing is a lot of you guys probably don't know much about Viral Heap. He is one of the most decorated coaches in Arizona small school history, probably. The guy's a legend. And we're going to tell you more about him in a whole episode just dedicated to Viral Heap and why we picked his name to embody this award. And the criteria for this award is super cool. We're pumped about it, man. It's a small ball player, 1A through 3A, who exhibits exceptional skill, sportsmanship, leadership, impact on team success, and obviously, Reyes, I know this is your favorite thing, character and integrity, because I know you have a lot of character and integrity, big dog.
Thanks, man. I really appreciate that, man. But yeah, dude, we're just super excited to bring this to you guys. So all the players and small ball coaches, just be on the lookout, man. Players, keep playing the best. Keep playing your heart out. Keep showing those characteristics, man, because like I said, we are watching. And at the end of the season, we're going to award this to the best player in small ball.
And Reyes, I'm putting you on the spot right here. What's going to be the perk that someone gets with this thing? Because it's not just going to be an award. What else?
So we didn't want to just do a simple plaque or anything like that. We really want to make this a big event.
A burrito.
I'm just kidding, bro.
You know what's crazy is you're going off on something. We haven't even talked about what the award is. What were you going to say? It was just a joke, bro.
Oh, I know. Well, we do want to give a plaque. I think that's super cool. Just kind of like the Heisman, the John Wooden Award, right? I mean, it's going to be better than both those awards.
Right. This is going to be more decorated than the Heisman, than the Wooden Award. Like, this is that for Arizona small ball.
Absolutely, man. It's just going to be bigger and better. Not probably bigger, but it's gonna mean a lot. But also, what I wanted to do besides the plaque too was potentially, you know, get some sponsors or donations, and probably whoever wins that award, whatever player
gets a brand new car.
Hey, you're crazy.
I thought that's where you were going. My bad, dude.
I don't know if that's in the small ball budget, but I think something that could be with the help of everybody in the small ball community is potentially donating, get some sponsorships to help donate to that player's basketball program for the following year to help out their athletic program. I think that'd be super cool.
And Reyes, literally, I put you on the spot and you just came up with something that we didn't even talk about that. So that could change. But we are.
What are you
really
talking about? No, I wanted to tell you, but you didn't answer your phone. That's you being lazy, man.
So the whole reason that we wanted to bring up this award, the Viral Heap Award, is we see the value in challenging student athletes to be the best version of themselves. and challenging, especially with everything, all the mess that these kids are seeing on social media nowadays, how they're seeing professional athletes act. We want to just give another reason for kids to be the best version of themselves and to work on their character. So it's not just about the small ball player who has the most exceptional skill, but you got to have great sportsmanship, right? Exemplary sportsmanship on and off the court, fair play, respect for your opponents, leadership, right? Really strong leadership qualities, positively influencing teammates, fostering team cohesion, contributing to the overall success of the team, and then also character and integrity, right? Somebody who demonstrates high moral character, integrity, and a positive representation of the sport, both on and off the court. So we want to help in any way that we can push kids to think about these kinds of things in their life, because it's really important, especially nowadays. So stay on the lookout, because we will talk about the Verl Heap Award again, and we're going to have a whole episode where we talk about Verl Heap and all of his accomplishments and why we chose him. But we're super excited about this. And yeah, there's the Verl Heap Award. So we'll start releasing some things about it, but we're on the lookout to award the first outstanding small ball player for this year, and the first year doing it, hopefully the first of many that we're going to be doing this thing. Let's get into this thing, and let's talk about the 20-point differential, this brand new rule that is put into the small ball just this past week. Okay. And as we look at this thing, this is a really interesting brand new rule that is put into place. And there's a lot of mixed feelings about it. We've been getting a lot of people writing in talking about, you know, what they think about it. We're going to talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly about this brand new 20-point differential. Maybe you're listening to this and you're like, I have no idea what you're talking about, bro. I didn't know there was a brand new rule in the AIA. Well, here it is. Teams from this point moving forward, and it's been in effect this whole week, like for this season, but if you beat a team by 20 points or more, you get awarded more power points for that win, opposed to if you beat them by 5 or you beat them by 10 or something. So we want to talk about this, the good, the bad, and the ugly of this 20-point differential, and just kind of our overall thoughts about it. Reyes, let's just start with you, dude. What is the good about this rule that teams are now awarded for beating a team by 20 points or more? It doesn't go any higher than that, right? You don't get more power points if you beat them by 50 or by 40 or by 60. It's just the cap is at 20. What's the good about this?
I think the good is, man, obviously the power points, right? Because there's so many times throughout this regular season that we're going to see where a team might have a slouch game and they lose one, they drop one to a pretty decent, like a 3A losing to a 2A, right?
Sure.
You lose to that and you see in the rankings, you're kind of falling a little bit or you're kind of hanging on. You know, if you continue to do what you need to do and I don't want to say blow out these teams, but take care of your business by 20 or more points, you know for a fact that you're going to get those extra power points that can also help you in the seedings and rankings come playoff time. So I like it. I'm not mad about it, honestly. Like I said, it is what it is, dude. If you don't want to get blown up by 20, do something about it, I guess. It's not as easy as saying that, but...
Right. Well, so here's the other thing, too, though. There's some teams that this really won't affect very much, right? So, like, I look at a Valley Christian, right? They are literally off. They are rolling to start, right? They beat Globe. Did you see the score for that Globe game?
It was kind of disrespectful. Was it 119 to something?
It was 118 to 44. Okay. So, I mean, Valley
that's
Christian,
crazy.
That's a statement game, right? Here's this percentage, okay? Coach DeBoer out of Valley Christian, you're going to love this stat, right? They were scoring 3.86 points every minute of that game. Okay. Like, think about that.
Jeez,
like,
man.
Like that's how effective they were being offensively. They're scoring 3.86 points every single minute of the game. That's unbelievable. Like, they're scoring almost every single time they come down the floor. Like, that's unreal, right? For Valley Christian, they don't, that's crazy, bro. Like,
that's just wild. Like, that's just wild to think. Like, okay, here we go again.
You know, I always give Coach Hogsma a hard time because, maybe you know this, maybe other people don't know this, but Hogsma is a huge Iowa football fan, okay? And Hogsma, I hope you're okay with me saying that, but you know, Iowa has the worst, literally the worst offense in college football in the country. Like they're last.
It sucks.
And every now and then I'll send them texts and just be like, hey, I think you and Raj should go over there and like teach them a little bit about how to play offense, right? Because you guys have it figured out. Iowa definitely doesn't. Anyways, that's a side note. Valley Christian, you know, they don't really have to worry about that as much. For most of their games, they're going to win by a pretty big margin. They're off to a hot start. Actually, hold on. My head is going crazy right now. Like, can we mention this really quick with Valley Christian?
Let's hear it, man.
They probably had the biggest win of the entire week against Smoky Hill in Colorado.
Man.
Can we talk about that for 1 second? Smoky Hill is the number three high school, I think, in 6A in Colorado. And Valley Christian played them at their place, and they get the win 73-65 against a crazy, like, stupid athletic team from Smoky Hill, Colorado. And, you know, this was a great test for Valley Christian, man. It's not many times that you're going to say something like this, but Valley Christian couldn't really match up with them in a man defense. So great adjustment on them, but they go to a zone defense, man, and they rebounded the ball so well. Actually, this is something that I didn't really think about being a huge key to Valley Christian and something that's going to help them so much is their rebounding ability. But man, they got out, they were poised, they were down, they ended up fighting back. They get this massive win against Smoky Hill. And I mean, I know you're going to disagree with me, but I'm just telling you, bro, Valley Christian's three-peating this year.
I'm not saying they're not, but I'm saying they're not. I don't know, dude. Like I said, I've told you this, and I have no real good backing on it, but I think there's just some 318. I feel like it's just some weird juju out there right now. Something crazy is going to happen in February, and we're just going to be like, wow, that actually happened. That's crazy. And we're going to look back at it a million years later when we're like aliens and stuff like that and be like, man, can you believe that Valley did a 3-peat?
When we're aliens? What are you talking about, bro?
Dude, a million years from now, dude, you never know what can happen.
So, okay, hold on, though. Let's talk about this then. Give me one other team that could have probably competed with the Smoky Hill team in Colorado in the 3A.
Gilbert Christian. I'm just high believers on them right now. I know you're probably thinking I am smoking some crazy stuff, but I promise you I'm not.
I think you're smoking some peyote, big dog.
Jesus. Golly, man. You didn't even know what peyote was till freaking like a week ago.
Okay, you know what? Whatever. You make it sound like we smoked it together or something. My goodness. So, anyways, we'll get off that. But huge shout out to Valley Christian getting, I mean, by far the biggest win in small ball up to this point. Like, that was awesome. You know, Smoky Hill from Colorado, you know, I hope you enjoy your, I hope you enjoy your trip back to Colorado after losing to the premier school in small ball, which is awesome. And then they played Pushers 93-60. So anyways, like side note, Valley Christian did some awesome stuff. But aside from that Smoky Hill game, both of those games, Globe and Push, like the 20-point differential wasn't an issue, right? So a lot of teams like this maybe don't have to worry about that. And I think the good behind this 20-point differential rule is there is a difference between beating a team by 5 points, by 3 points, and beating a team by 20 or more. And if you have two different teams that play the same opponent and you just say a win is a win, then okay, what you're going to have is rankings that are maybe incomplete. When you have rankings that take all of that into account, you get the most accurate picture of rankings. And you can make the argument as well that teams should be rewarded within reason for how they perform against an opponent. Again, I said within reason.
Absolutely.
Right? So I think that's the good, is it provides a really good, accurate picture of like playoff rankings, because it will impact the playoffs. Let's get to the bad
definitely.
And the ugly, right? What do you think about that? What's the bad and the ugly?
I think for teams that are not as strong, right, like a prime example for a Globe and Valley Christian, 118 to, what was it, 44 you said, or 66?
44.
I think I saw something where I...
Yeah, it was 118 to 44.
I think we saw like a comment where we like... No, but there's like a joke where someone said how did Globe score 44 points or something like that, right? It was kind of a funny thing.
Oh my god. Like That's crazy, bro.
I saw something like that. But yeah, I mean, for those less fortunate teams, for those teams that are probably in a rebuilding stage, it can really hurt them, man. Like I said, because they're not as strong, right? They're here just trying to compete and to get blown out every night, and to know that every coach knows they have to win by 20 or more. Like it can be a little bit more demoralizing. You know what I mean?
Well, and
especially to the opponent,
right? But you don't have to win by 20 or more, but it gives you an extra power point, you know, push.
But that's the thing, though. You say you don't have to, but you kind of have to, right? Because that's what if you want the extra power points, which every team in small ball, every team in the state does, they want those extra power points, you're going to have to do what you need to do. And that's, you know, that's beating a bad team by 20 or more, or playing a very good opponent. And then with like 3 minutes left in the game, you're up 10. You have to go put 10 more on them. Like, hey, like, it's tough.
Yeah, I think the bad in this is coaches and players have so many things that they need to think about and throughout the course of the game, so many split decisions. The last thing that kids need to be thinking about is, you know, oh, we're up by 23, so we don't have to try as hard, right? Or like, you know, we're down by 17 and like the game's ending. Let's quick go get a bucket so that way we can get more. Like, you know, I think the bad is – like, you can make another really strong argument that kids don't need to be thinking about competing for a certain point differential. Kids should just be competing no matter what, right?
Absolutely.
And I think more than this, the ugly, and this is why I actually hate this 20-point differential, and I know that we think differently on this, but I absolutely hate it. Because what's the point of high school sports? Every single team has certain kids that are practice players or bench players, right? And
floaters.
And these are players that are not going to get into the game unless they're up big. Well, what happens, and for every single coach, this is going to happen. And you might hear this rule and you're like, oh, it's fine. Like, it's great, you know? But when you experience it, I promise you, you're probably not going to like it. Because you're up by 22 points and there's 2 minutes left. Obviously, you're going to win the game. And usually what you would do is give those kids a chance to play. Well, now what are you thinking? Oh, shoot. If I put these kids in the game, we could give up some points, and now we don't get as many power points. So what it does, and this is the ugly, this is why I hate it. It's going to take playing time away from kids like that, that, you know, if they get in for 2 or 3 minutes, that could really help them and their confidence, and it helps to develop those players. I mean, what are we here for, right? Honestly, what are we here for? To gain as many power points as possible?
Or, we're here to win games, baby. That's what we're here for, man.
Then win the game by 17 and put your players in that deserve to get in.
Hey.
Right?
Guess what? I mean, you're absolutely right, but also a caveat to that, or to, you know, play the devil advocate. Dude, like, you got to help your team in the best position. And if that means getting a couple other power points, extra power points, to potentially knock somebody down and move yourself up in a better position in the rankings. Just saying, man.
At the expense of other kids who deserve to play when you know you're going to win the game.
It is what it is, right? I mean, those kids know why they're on the bench, and they know the situation at hand. I think the coaches should be very clear about it, and maybe that's very scummy of me to say, but I mean, in the grand scheme of things, man, every team wants to compete for a state title, and a lot of teams don't want the toughest road, right? They want to choose the best path for their team. If they can do that by, you know, winning by 20 or more points a game, and that's the expense of maybe not playing your bench, so be it.
I strongly dislike it. It will impact the playoffs. And again,
as a
coach, you might be listening to this and you're like, it's not that big of a deal. Like, it's whatever. But the reality is, when you're in that position and you're like thinking about putting a kid in, but you're like, oh, shoot, like, we're going to probably give up some points here, and you feel that tug, that's not something that you should be thinking about, right? We should, as coaches, we're up, we're going to win. Let's put this kid in who deserves to play, and we can get him some game reps that could encourage him. He's going to work harder in practice. He's going to get better, you know, all that kind of stuff. So I strongly dislike that. But, you know, it is what it is, and I guess that's fine. You know, it's okay for us to disagree. Yeah.
It is okay for us to disagree, man. And like I said, I guess we'll overall see how it really does impact come end of January, honestly. I'm very curious to see the score differentials at that point in the season, because I think it's going to get a lot uglier than we think that it is now.
Okay, so Big Reyes, let's move on, because there were some awesome, awesome games this week. And I think we would be kind of, it'd be a swing and a miss to not start off with our matchup of the week, which was Phoenix Christian at ALA. ALA gets the win 69-63 over Phoenix Christian. Reyes, I'm putting you on the hot seat, big dog, but I want you to give me, what are your biggest overreactions from this game for both teams? Let's start with ALA. What's your biggest overreaction from this game?
I think my biggest overreaction, I think I said it last episode, I said that ALA could potentially freak out, you know, and it was like the complete opposite, right? They were so poised and just methodical the way they kind of approached the game. It was a very fun game to watch, but that's probably one of the biggest overreactions, and probably them getting swept, honestly. That was probably one of the biggest overreactions that not only I kind of had, but a lot of others might have had as well.
Well, wait, no. I think you misunderstood my question, big dog.
Well, say it better than
so. Okay, an example of the biggest overreaction from the game would be ALA is going to win the championship.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying?
I thought you were just talking about like the matchup itself. My biggest overreaction.
Maybe if you stopped drinking your Stanley Cup and you were focusing more, maybe you'd be more alert, ready to go, dude.
Dude, I'm sorry. That's my bad. I am unfocused. I am looking at all the Christmas lights in my house right now.
Stop looking at them. They're not that great, dude.
I know. Dude, you know what happened last time we did this? We won't dive into it, but remember last time we showed our lights and our tree? You got sweat, buddy. The biggest overreaction I have for ALA, man, is that they're probably the second, maybe even the best team in the 2A.
Really? So maybe the best team in the 2A? Wow.
Just saying, man.
Okay. It's called an overreaction.
That is an overreaction, right?
Well, let's talk about that for a second. If you put ALA right now against like a Highland Prep, which is your number one, what do you thinking that outcome is with that?
I think it's a close game like this one.
You think it comes down to the wire?
Absolutely. I don't think either team really kind of runs away with this. You know, I think it is like the spread would have to be like a -6 or something like that for ALA, or even like a Highland Prep.
Wait, you said -6 ALA, so then that means that you would favor ALA?
I think I would favor ALA in that matchup if it was at ALA, dude. I like ALA at home, dude. I'm telling you, bro. They kind of came out and played.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
Well, I asked for an overreaction. That's a big overreaction.
You wanted it.
I know. I asked for it. It's good.
You want controversy. I'll give you controversy, big dog.
Okay. Now, I want you to give me your biggest overreaction for Phoenix Christian.
Oh, man. Let's see. Let's get a good one. Let's get one where, like, we get some pretty big reactions.
No,
pretty
funny just
comments.
Give me an overreaction. Don't say anything crazy, but, you know.
Phoenix Christian doesn't make it to the Final Four.
Ooh, okay. Okay, that's interesting. What makes you think that about this game?
I mean, obviously it kind of came down to the wire, right? But for the most part, when watching the film and kind of keeping track with stats, right, it was kind of hard, but I think I did a pretty good job with it. I felt like ALA was overall in control. I like what they did as far as pressuring Phoenix Christian. PC kind of struggled against the pressure, especially in the half court. I thought ALA did a really great job.
I really loved the look from ALA doing all the pressuring. I thought that was really, really good.
I thought it was really good. And like I said, ALA has three players in the double figures, right? Ironshow had 16, Luis had 13, and Noah had 14 points, man. I mean, a trio like that, dropping a double digits on that night against PC is very tough to beat. But yeah, I think the thing for me was ALA's defense as opposed to Phoenix Christian's composure against that defense, right? A lot of turnovers, a lot of forced shots. Maybe I would have liked Phoenix Christian to maybe settle a little bit more, but that's just not their MO, right? That's just not who they are. They're a running gun team. Like I said, they're pretty flashy in what they do, and they do a great job with that. But that's just one thing that really stuck out to me was how they were struggling against the pressure of the Coyotes of ALA.
So let's talk about this too for a second, because, you know, we got nothing but love for all of these kids, but, you know, we got nothing but love for Steph Ironshell. He had a rough game this game. And
he had a rough game shooting. Yeah, it was.
Well, and think about
finishing
this
overall.
Right. But think about this. You have Steph Ironshell, their best player, who really struggles to shoot the ball, and ALA is still able to pull this thing out. I mean, I thought that was very impressive, because how many teams can have their best player, their best offensive option, really struggle like that and still come out on top? You know, I thought Steph did a really good job of adjusting too. His shot wasn't going down. He still kept shooting it when he was open, but then he started making way better choices, passing and attacking the rim, getting into the paint, kicking out. I thought he did a great job with that. But I thought that was interesting, because he did struggle a little bit. And I will say this too. I kept track of possessions and possessions scored, and ALA was just a little bit more efficient than Phoenix Christian was. Out of 74 total possessions, ALA scored on 34 of them. So, I mean, they were pretty – and especially if you look at, like, the first quarter, they were very efficient, moving into that. But, like, as a whole in the game, I just thought that ALA was a little bit more – they played together within themselves a little bit better. And I think because of that, they got really great shots inside. They got great looks. Whereas Phoenix Christian, I felt like – and you kind of talked about this, but the pressure of ALA – it really ended up forcing Phoenix Christian into some really tough shots. And maybe if it wasn't even forcing, Phoenix Christian really started to settle for some really tough shots. And they made some of them, you know, but that, it's kind of difficult when you're doing that throughout the course of the whole game. That's why their efficiency was a little bit less.
Well, no, and I agree with you on that too. And just to kind of go back, what you just said about Ironshell and Louise, Ironshell didn't really have a great scoring night, didn't shoot really as efficient as he probably wanted it to be, but still able to impact, still able to lead the team in scoring. But he did a really great job, I thought, getting his other teammates involved, right? I know we mentioned Ironshell with 16, Louise with 13, and Draper with 14, but let's not forget about Owen, their other, like, 6'4 forward. I think he finished with, like, 6 to 8 points. You know, they did a really good job finding him under the basket. Mm-hmm. Ethan hit two pretty big threes in the game and had a layup. So, I mean, like I said, the whole team overall contributed. And, yeah, maybe forcing wasn't the right terminology, but I think that Phoenix Christian was okay and content for what ALA was giving him.
Right, yeah. And another thing that we have to mention here, and, you know, we talk about down the stretch, ALA got great looks down the stretch, whether it was a rebound inside. I thought ALA played tough inside with Draper and other players. Yep. I mean, they rebounded the ball really well. They finished inside really well. So I was super impressed with that from ALA. But I think on top of that, there was a couple kids that were missing from Phoenix Christian that is – and ALA was missing a couple kids too, but Phoenix Christian was missing Jace Hagan and Xavier wasn't playing. So I'm curious as to why that is. I don't know any behind-the-scenes stuff, but I think if I was to give an overreaction for Phoenix Christian, I think my overreaction for them is they really need to find – a point guard that can run their offense and get them into their stuff really effectively. Now, don't misunderstand what I said there. I'm not saying that Phoenix Christian doesn't have anybody that can handle. They have so many people that can handle. Malachi can handle. Rice Anderson can handle. They got some other guards that can handle. Like, they've got a lot of people that can handle. But in watching,
but I think that's different from running the offense.
Exactly. And watching them play, it didn't seem like there was somebody who felt super confident and comfortable getting them into their offense. A lot of times you have Malachi or Bryce Anderson doing that, and they're much more scoring guards, right? They're much more scoring players. And I thought that really over time was why Phoenix Christian was a little bit less efficient. We can talk about Malachi for a second too, dude. This kid's a sophomore. He is going to be tough for Phoenix Christian for a really long time. There was a point in the fourth quarter, I think he had about 6 points by himself. It was in the beginning of the third. He had 6 points by himself to start the second half. And he really kind of put Phoenix Christian on his back and carried them into some really good things. So, I mean, Phoenix Christian's still crazy athletic, dude. And they got some really good breakout plays. ALA did keep their poise. They did keep their composure. They got way better shots down the stretch. And I think the biggest reason as to why there's some separation right now between ALA and Phoenix Christian is if Phoenix Christian can kind of figure out that point guard role, they're going to be great. They're going to be just fine. They might even win this game. But right now, I think that's something that is a little bit of a void for them that they need to kind of figure out how to fill. And I mean, Jace and Xavier would fill those spots, right? But they weren't there playing, so it's kind of interesting.
No, I agree with you wholeheartedly, man. I think that not necessarily that lack, but just not being able to have that certain player that can not only run the offense and get everybody open can really just kind of hinder a defense and kind of just make them pretty one-dimensional. You know what I mean?
I was trying to track this stat, and then I lost it because I was tracking so many things. But ALA had so many paint touches. It was crazy. They got into the paint almost at times. It felt like they got into the paint at will, and they just got a lot of guards.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah, they've got a lot of guards that are just really great at getting into the lane, and that creates so much for them, whether it's dump-offs, kick-out threes, and it just kind of gets their offense going and flowing. So ALA is off to a great start. Honestly, I didn't feel like this was a great game for either of these teams, but it is what it is. ALA gets the win at home. They survive, and they move on. Next for ALA and PC, I think this is important for us to kind of look at moving forward. But ALA next up has, I think they have a really good test coming up next. And I might be thinking of somebody else. Next up, they have Horizon Honors at home. So we know how Horizon has been playing. They've been competing really well with teams. And, Horizon, a big key for them is going to be handling the pressure that ALA throws at them. But that's going to be a really great one. ALA has an awesome luxury. Their first three games have all been at home, and then they go to Flagstaff to the Pepsi Holiday Tournament, which is later on in this week. So they have a really nice luxury of being at home, and then it's going to start to get pretty intense for them as they go on the road a little bit.
I agree with you, man. I like that, man. But overall, great game.
Right. And then for Phoenix Christian moving on, this week is a huge week for them, right? December 4th. They're at home against Sedona Red Rock, but December 7th.
The Scorpions!
December 7th, the Honey Badgers come into Phoenix Christian.
Ooh, going to the Cougar Den, man.
So that's what's next for both of these teams. Really quick, do you want to give a prediction on what's next for both of these? So ALA plays Horizon Honors at home. What's your prediction on that one?
I think ALA kind of takes care of business with that one. I think the way that Coach Myers has his kids playing right now, especially when they get their players back, they're going to be a very tough force to stop. I'm going to go ALA plus 10.
Okay, I'm with you. I think ALA is favored in that game for me as well. Let's get to Phoenix Christian. Not December 4th, no disrespect to Sedona, but December 7th is the matchup that we really care about. They play Highland Prep at home. What do you think? What's your prediction here, dude? This is crazy. This is a good one.
This is a great one, man. And I hate that we're not doing an overall game breakdown on this one, right? This would be such a perfect game for it. But if we just had to say, I got to rock with my number one team as of right now, right? I'm going to go with the Honey Badgers. I think they go into the Cougar Den. I think they're able to get one out. I'm going to go plus 4.
So, you can call me crazy for this.
Say it, dude.
I've got an interesting feeling about this game, and I kind of like Phoenix Christian in this matchup. Now, I know that, like, think about last year, Highland Prep got the best of Phoenix Christian.
They sure did.
And that was a big-time matchup for them, but they got the best against Phoenix Christian. And I'm not saying that Phoenix Christian is going to win this game. I just have a weird feeling about this, especially because it's on the road.
No.
Highland Prep. I got a weird feeling about it.
Well, say it, man. What do you say? What are you thinking, dude?
I said what I said. I have a weird feeling about it. I'm not saying that I picked Phoenix Christian.
That's not good enough, man. Come on, let's hear it.
What do you want me to say? You want me to say I think the Cougars are going to beat the Honey Badgers?
That's why exactly what I want you to say, because that's what it sounds like, man.
Okay, so let me just really quick go through this algorithm in my mind. If I'm going to say that, I had to have a really good reason why.
Okay, let's hear it.
Okay, so, okay, I'm a rock with Phoenix Christian here, and I'm going to say this is like plus two or something like that. Phoenix Christian wins by two. I guess we're doing betting things. It'd be minus two, but the only reason why...
Technically, the AFC is spread. Yeah, you're right.
The only reason why is because Phoenix Christian is going to be playing with... I mean, you picture going to a Mexican restaurant, you know, and you got like, they bring out the chips that are so freaking good, and you got your salsa you know, maybe you got your bean dip, whatever, but you get your chip, and you know, sometimes you get like a chip that's not very good, and it's kind of like chipped off, and it's like halfway or a quarter of a chip. This is like, imagine grabbing the, like a full tortilla that has been fried, and that's in the chip basket. Like, Phoenix Christian is literally going to be playing with the biggest chip on their shoulder to try to prove Highland Prep wrong and to get revenge. And they're at home, too. So you know their fans are going to be in there. It's going to be hopping. It's going to get crazy. I could see Bryce Anderson having a huge game in this one. And if Phoenix Christian gets some of their kids back and they're playing, then maybe that'll help them as well. I just think the – not an X's and O's thing. This isn't an X's and O's thing. I think it's just kind of a chip shoulder, playing with an edge. Like, these guys knocked us out of the playoffs last year, and we've got to get them, right? I think one of the things that helped Highland Prep against Phoenix Christian so much last year, and this is going to sound really weird and counterproductive, Phoenix Christian had Tommy Randolph. So they threw that junk at them, and they really struggled with that. They don't have that this year, right? Phoenix Christian doesn't just rely on one person anymore. There's a lot of other pieces there. Now, Highland Prep has also gotten better from last year, so there's that. But I'm just feeling kind of crazy today. I don't know. I go with Phoenix Christian this, and I think it's going to be really close.
I'm feeling kind of crazy, too. I literally said that Phoenix Christian will make the Final Four, dude. I feel like that's going to kind of come back and bite
you
in the butt later.
Yeah, that's true. You did say that.
No, I said that, bro. And what's crazier is this. I guess my question to you is, what do you do about Presley eBay? How if you're Phoenix Christian, I know people don't really dive into this as much, but last question and we'll move on.
Sure.
If you're Phoenix Christian, what do you do to stop Presley eBay?
I think it's much less about stopping Presley eBay, and it's much more about not letting Highland Prep get into an offensive flow. I think that's really what it is. And because you can't really stop Presley eBay. I mean, he can shoot it from deep. He can get all the way to the rim. He can shoot pull-ups. Like, he can do everything, right? So I think you don't abandon your defensive principles. You play defense, but I think you throw a bunch of different looks at ALA, or not at ALA, at Highland Prep. So that way it's hard for them to get into an offensive flow. Throw some zone, right? Maybe have a couple possessions where you send some double teams, but then you get out of it, right? Maybe you pressure them in the full court. I would love to see Phoenix Christian pressure in the full court. The hard thing,
I agree with you. I would love to see that as well.
The hard thing is you can't really throw junk at a Highland Prep because they have so many weapons all around them. They can shoot the ball as well. So I don't know. I think I'm just, as a coach, if I'm preparing for them, I'm trying my best to throw different looks at Highland Prep on defense. And I'm practicing taking charges all week long because if Presley eBay comes in the lane, I mean, I'm giving it all up just to try to get a turnover, you know? So, I mean, that's all you can do. So let's move on to the next one, a big time game that we want to watch. And this was so fun. You can make an argument that nobody had a bigger week this week than these next two teams. Who do you want to start with, dude? You know what? I'm just going to say who I want to start with. Let's start with Heritage. Okay.
Dude, man.
Heritage has had an incredible start to their season. And we talked about this behind closed doors. And I feel so frustrated that we didn't do this. We both kind of wanted to put Heritage in the top 10. But because of what we saw this summer, but we both kind of felt like maybe we should wait to see how they do at the beginning of the season. And bro, they are showing out. They get a huge win over PCD, who was previously, I think, number five or number six for us in the 2A. And then moving forward, they also get a massive win against Veritas Prep, who there's been a lot of hype about. but they also get a big win over Veritas Prep in a buzzer beater, like thriller ending for them. They have been playing awesome right now. And, you know, you hated on the graphic song that I posted for Heritage, and it kind of made me mad.
I did. I know, and I'm sorry about that, man. I just think that song, I think that song is overplayed, dude. Is that what I said to you? I think I said that to you.
I think that is what you said, and it made me frustrated.
Yeah, you weren't a fan of my opinion, which there I said I...
Okay, here we go. This is for all the Heritage fans out there, okay? And my voice is broken because of screaming and yelling and coaching, but here we go. There goes my hero. Watching as he goes. The heroes, bro. Like, they're off to an awesome start. I love watching them play. They are competing at such a high level. They get the win over PCD. I forget what the final score was, but they win by, it's a pretty close game. I think it was a 6 or 4 point game. But Heritage gets this massive win at PCD. Let me remind you, it was on the road. And Reyes, what sticks out to you about this game? And maybe more than this game, what sticks out to you about our heroes?
that's a good one. For me personally, man, one thing about Heritage that really stuck out to me was their defense. I think their defense is pretty tough. I love what they were doing against PC, especially in the first half, dude. PCD had a very hard time scoring against Heritage, man. Mm-hmm. Heritage is very long. They're very athletic. They can cover space fast. Like I said, their best player, I wanted to make sure I get his name right, Sifo. Man, that kid, he's a stud, man. He is leading the heroes in the best way possible. Not only his scoring ability, man, but his playmaking ability as well. He really takes it on both ends of the floor, which I really love to see. I think that what, dude?
Bro, did you hear what you just
did? I say taking it on both ends. Are you a oh man?
I'm sorry, bro, but that's freaking crazy. Hey, Donye. Hey, Donye.
Bro, we got to take that out, like, bro. I didn't even mean to say it like that.
Hey, it's staying in, bro. Donye, that's crazy that he just said that, but don't listen to him, bro. You were hooping this week, and you keep it up, dude.
Pause, man. Pause.
That's like stop. That's not pause. That's like stop, bro. That's crazy.
That's just pause. No, that's pause, bro. My bad. I was just trying to say, bro, he's just been killing, dude. He's cooking on both ends of the floor. I should have just said that. I don't know what happened where I said taking on both ends. You took it there. I just meant to say he's cooking on both ends, man. So I'm sorry, Sifo, Donye. I'm just baffled by my co-host's just filthy mind, honestly. And I hope that he can just fix it later on. Golly, man, what is wrong with you?
Jeez, man. I didn't say it. Yes, you did. Come on now.
Bro, no one would have said anything unless you started laughing like you're freaking 5 years old.
It's like,
dude,
that Charles Barkley thing where, you know, he's like, when a guy's banging you, and, you know, it's like, oh my gosh, dude.
And Shaq's just laughing, dude.
I can't believe you just said that, bro. That's crazy, dude. That's a quotable Reyes moment right there.
Are we going to make sure to say taking it on both ends?
Mm-hmm. There you go, man. Just a picture of you with that quote right there. But you can continue. I'm sorry, dude.
No, that's literally all I was saying. He was just killing it on both ends of the floor against PCD. Obviously, down the stretch, they were making some costly turnovers. Like I said, they allowed PCD to get back in the game. But I was really impressed with their composure and how they were able to pull it out towards the end.
Yeah, so a couple players here that I love from Heritage, right? At number three, their point guard, Cameron Irby, which in my head, I just kept calling him Kirby. But Cameron Irby is an awesome point guard. He's got great court vision. He had 4 assists to start the game and just made really great decisions there. Does a really nice job getting into the lane. Had some nice finishes, like reverses and things like that. And here's the thing. Heritage plays with really good offensive flow. There's a lot of on-ball screens, a lot of cutting, but they play with really good offensive flow. I think it starts with number three, Cameron Irby. I was also going to say about number four, Donye Sifo, that he shot the ball really well, has some really nice dives into the lane too, just a great athlete. Number 12, Dominic Martinez is their big. He's not anything crazy, but he's just really solid, right? And when he gets into the lane, He's just super fundamental with his hop stops. He's strong with the basketball. He can kind of finish. So I really like a lot of what Heritage has going on. I thought PCD took a lot of really tough shots, and maybe that was due in part to the defense of Heritage. I felt like PCD at times was just kind of pressing. But hey, somebody who I was super impressed with is Sosnowitz, dude.
Really? Explain. Let's hear it.
I feel like he's gotten so much more. In the past few years, when I thought about Sosnowitz, I really thought about him as a threat from deep. And that was mainly
it. You're talking about him attacking and everything.
Well,
like
not
that.
Only on offense, but defensively. The kid was super active. And I felt like he took a lot more. You can tell when a kid is a shooter, and you can tell when a kid is just super invested in what's going on. I feel like his growth just overall as a player, when I think about how he competed on defense and how active he was, his activity overall, I thought was awesome. So I love that from Sosnowitz. I thought it was really good. And I will say this too. It wasn't just Sosnowitz. Also Devin Chabra from PCD, number 10. He's about 6'3", I think, 6'2", but he's improved a ton. Like last year, same thing. He was mainly –
That's number 11, correct?
Number 10. Mainly just a shooter from at least what we saw. And this game, he was getting into the lane. He's hitting some floaters. And he also had some big shots for them. I thought PCD was – I don't know what it is. I think PCD just really likes the left side of the floor. I feel like I've never seen them shoot good in the first half of a game at their place. And then in the second half, they just catch fire. They started to shoot the ball really well in the second half. But Heritage was poised, man. They were able to hold on just enough to keep this win. And I mean, I really like them a lot. PCD shoots pretty bad, but you know, a part of that is because of Heritage and their defense. So I love what Coach G has got going on with these guys, and they're playing at a high level. You know, we talked to him this summer at the Sweet 16, and he felt very confident about his group. If you remember that, he said that he returns most of his impact players, and they were so close to being relevant at the end of the year last year. He felt really good about his chances, and it's showing right here as they get a top 10 win, and they get a win against Veritas, a buzzer beater win by the end. So I really like that from them. I think it's really cool. I think Dominic Martinez is the one who hit that buzzer beater. And or maybe it wasn't Dominic Martinez. I think it was somebody else from the team. I think he's the one who sent it to me. But just really great stuff for them. I love how they're playing, and I cannot wait to see them progress. Are there any other thoughts that you have about Heritage Academy right now?
Two-way, man. Just look out, honestly, dude.
For real, dude. There's so many good teams in the two-way.
There's so many good teams. It's almost like you're so close to saying that they're a dark horse, right? And you could probably make the case that they are a dark horse in the 2A. But if they can really keep this alive, man, and keep grabbing our attention like everybody else, man, I'm very excited to see where they are when they get to end of January, early February, and hit the playoffs.
So let's talk about this week then for Heritage, because they've been rolling. Their next five games are all on the road. So they're at Basis Phoenix, and then December 7th, they're at Yuma Catholic.
And I think when they –
let's talk about that for a second. I mean, that's a crazy test for them.
Yeah, so when they meet Yuma Catholic, I think that we'll know what we need to know about Heritage, right? Because we already know about Yuma Catholic a little bit, right? Even though the loss of – I'm not even going to say his name anymore because I'm tired of it. He's gone. He's not coming back.
You okay, dude?
But I'm not okay, dude. I really wish he would have stayed in the small ball.
I know.
He was really fun to watch. But anyways, with that being said, I think it's going to tell us a lot about Heritage, man, how they handle against a very sound team offensively and defensively. I'm very curious about this. What are your thoughts and maybe prediction on this game?
I think Yuma Catholic gets this one, but I think Heritage is going to compete really well. I like Heritage a lot, and I think it's going to be tough going on the road to Yuma Catholic. How far is that drive? It's got to be kind of far, isn't it?
Heritage is in Mesa, and Yuma Catholic's in Yuma, so I'm assuming that's probably like a 2.5-3 hour drive, if I had to guess.
Yeah, so yeah, I think it's going to be hard because it's away. I think Yuma Catholic's going to win this one, But I mean, I think Heritage is going to be a great test for them, because then the following week they play at ALA. So it's going to be really good. They're going to be battle tested. They've already played against some great competition here. And I love, there goes my hero. Dude, I wish I was actually a really good singer. So then if I did that, everybody was like, oh my gosh, he's a great singer.
You know, I really don't think anybody would say that to you, respectfully. Like I said, I love you, bud, but I just don't see that really happening for you. The Heroes, what's up with LA though? I know we just got done talking about them, man, but they're playing everybody, right? You can almost make the case that ALA has all the smoke tour because who they're playing.
They've got a loaded schedule, and I mean, they're going to be just as battle tested as anybody. So I'm excited about that. We are going to move on to talking about the last team that really had a great week this week, which is Desert Christian. But before we do, we just want to take a second and talk about our partners over at Cloud9 Sports. We are so excited to partner with them because they care about small ball schools just as much as we do. They're a sports apparel company that is founded and run by small ball coaches, and they work with the small schools. That's really who they want to work with. They really take pride in taking care of the small ball schools. They specialize in providing online stores for schools, even in those who are under all school contracts. They just do awesome work. And like we say this every time, but we use them for our events, for all of them. And we have just been so impressed with not just the price, but the quality. And our guy, Roger, is just awesome to work with. So we just want to talk about that for a second. And if you are curious about that, you want to find out more information, you can message us or you can email our guy, cloud9roger@hotmail.com, or go on over to Cloud9 Sports, use the promo code all caps Smallball Army, and you can get 10% off your purchase. Let's move on and let's talk about Desert Christian. Desert Christian has had a crazy week, and in this, we have a guy who really helps us out a lot with Desert Christian. He keeps us updated with things, and he had a very interesting proposal for us. His argument was, because of the way Desert Christian has performed this year, and Reyes, you tell me what you think. Because of the way Desert Christian has performed this year, do they have the best resume in the small ball for 1A, right? It was kind of controversial, but we put the Gregory School number one, and we dropped North Valley to number three. We have Desert Christian number four. But I want you to listen to this, and I want you to tell me what you think, okay? It will be interesting to compare Desert's resume against the Gregory School, right, to see who should actually be number one. Both teams have beaten Hayden by a similar margin. Remember, the Gregory School played Hayden early when they didn't have that many practices, and the Desert Christian beat Hayden when they had more practices. So you can make an argument that Hayden was a better team when Desert Christian played them and beat them. Okay, at the PCDS tournament, Desert Christian beat Parker, which we know about Parker. They're not a bad team at all. They beat Mojave Accelerated, very competitive team. They beat Horizon Honors, a very competitive team. They beat Scottsdale Prep, a competitive team. And they almost beat Phoenix Country Day. They brought it all the way down to the wire. Mind you, the games against Scottsdale Prep and Phoenix Country Day, Scottsdale Prep went to, I think it was it triple overtime? I have it right here.
Double overtime.
So hold on. I want to make sure I get this right. Yeah. So I think Horizon Honors, I think Scottsdale Prep went to double overtime. And Phoenix Christian went to triple, or when they played against Phoenix Country Day, I'm sorry, they went to triple overtime. So, I mean, thinking about this, they went to, in one day, they had a like five overtime games, like five overtimes that they played, and they went all the way down to the wire. Does that mean that if we have the Gregory School number one, Desert Christian, do they have a better resume? Like, should they be there? If you look at who the Gregory School has played and beaten.
Oh, man, it's tough, right? Because although the Gregory School hasn't played the strength of schedule so far as Desert Christian has played, right? I think that's fair to say. It's almost like the college football thing, right? The whole strength of schedule argument that they were talking about when they were talking about who's in. I just think the Gregory School is just a different team than Desert Christian. And I think that's fair to say, and that's no disrespect to Desert Christian.
Sure.
But you can make a case for Desert Christian to be, I think we have him at number two.
Well, I mean, I think.
Oh, no, we have him at number four or five, right?
But number four, you make a case that they could potentially flip-flop with like a North Valley maybe.
And put him at three?
Yeah, I think you can make a case for that. I don't feel good about Babbo, and I don't feel good about putting them up above the Gregory School, because I think even though the Desert Christian has beaten maybe more notable teams, I still think that those two teams, if they played Desert Christian right now, I think that they would beat Desert Christian.
No,
and that's
an
opinion thing. That's nothing but an opinion thing. But watching them play, I think that they're better than them. Desert Christian, you can make an argument that they could flip-flop with North Valley right now currently. But that's kind of where I'm at with that. But I thought it was an interesting thing, you know, to think about, because they do have a 1A resume. That's the best 1A resume right now that Desert Christian has.
Hashtag I agree with you, man. Dude, they have put themselves on the map, dude, respectfully. And like I said, they're doing a great job, and hopefully they keep that up. I feel okay putting them above North Valley for now until North Valley gets healthy. But it's very hard for me, yeah, like you said, to put them above a Babbo or a Gregory.
Yeah, so Desert Christian is rolling right now. As of currently, their record is – let me pull up their record right now. But right now, I believe they're 7-0. They haven't lost a game yet. And – oh, no, they lost to PCD in that triple overtime. But with that, they are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 1. I don't see them losing December 6th or December 8th, but Desert Christian, we do see them playing at Babbo December 12th. So, man, I hope I eat my words, because that would be super fun, but I don't know that I will be. Who do you have in that matchup with a Desert Christian and a Babbo?
Man, and it's at Babbo, correct?
It's at Babbo.
I think I'm going to go ahead and give it to the Warriors of Babbo Corvary, man. I've been so high about them ever since last year, especially since they came to our summer tournament, and overall how they've just been playing so far, right? I think they're going to do a great job making it kind of chaotic for Desert Christian. If I had to give my prediction, I'm going to go ahead and say I'm going to take Babbo on that one.
Yeah, and I think I would agree with you on that, but we could be wrong. So Desert Christian, we're super excited to see them kind of moving forward.
Hopefully they make us eat our words, dude. Honestly, I really appreciate that when we're wrong. It's kind of fun.
Thank you guys so much for tuning into the Arizona Small Ball Podcast. We appreciate all of you guys tuning in and supporting us every single week. If you are a faithful listener and you haven't, head on over to Apple Podcasts or Spotify, write us a review, leave us a review. That helps our show so much. And make sure you hit subscribe while you're there. On Patreon this week, we're going to be talking about Round Valley, because that's where we're going to, and we're super excited for it. So thank you guys for tuning in, and we'll catch you guys next week.